Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, what a show today. Live in Los Angeles, it's The Herd, wherever you may be, however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1, 1 hour from now, Greg Cosell. If you bet football, you love fantasy football, you just like to get smarter, nobody better than Greg Cosell. Every week gives me tips, I learn something, he'll be joining us in 1 hour. Greg Olson, Greg Jennings. Three Gregs on the show. That's a new Herd record. In the history of the show, we've never had three Gregs. A new Greg record. Joy Taylor, how are you? You look like sunshine and flowers today.
Thank you. I feel a little Halloween-y. I'm like a lizard type of situation. I just planned this for Halloween week, but I'm not supposed to be anything.
Have you decided what your costume is?
Oh, yeah. Listen. I'm bringing the heat tomorrow, Colin.
Oh, tomorrow? You're...
You made the mistake. I kind of eased Colin into my insanity.
All right.
Like, the first year was, like, very subtle, just, yeah. Like, little cat ears and, like, a regular dress. And the next year, I kind of amped it up, and this year, you're going to regret giving me the green light.
So, it's almost like the basketball gods gave me a lead today. You know my feeling on Russell Westbrook. I am not a hater. I'm a realist. You were wrong. I was right. But that's not what this show is about. He is an all-time athlete. I would vote him into the Hall of Fame. In his prime, I would have paid to watch him play. I can say that about very few athletes. But Westbrook has horrible judgment, is a terrible shooter, and has zero self-awareness. Self-awareness, I will tell you, young broadcasters, will save your job or get you good ones. Westbrook, as a basketball player, has none. Great example last night. Oh, forget the fact the Lakers blew a 26-point lead. I don't think they'd ever done that before. I'll get to that later. So at the end of the game, Lakers trailing, inbounding the ball. Oklahoma City, a really young player for Oklahoma City. We'll show the video here. He steals the ball, and he goes down, and he dunks the ball. And Westbrook unraveled, does what Westbrook does. Very upset. He tells the kid, you can't be doing that. You can't be dunking and showing off, which is ironic. Westbrook, who still is the worst shooter of threes in league history for a guard, still cranks them up four times a game, is telling somebody else what shots to take. Isn't that interesting? Mr. Awful Shot, Mr. Bad Judgment, Mr. Bad Shot, telling a kid, yeah, you shouldn't shoot this shot. That's like Jameis Winston lecturing people on bad picks. Here's Westbrook after the game, why he was so upset with the kid.
How I play the game, and I'm more old school, and like that happened, I don't let it slide. So, I take it on the chin and move on. But the game of basketball, certain things you just don't do. Like in baseball, you don't look bad. And certain things you just don't do. In sports, game already over, and I didn't like it. Simple as that.
Interesting. Let's rewind the tape to 21 seconds left in the game. Lakers down three out of a timeout. Let's watch what happens here. Out of a timeout. This wasn't the play that was called. 3 seconds. 21 seconds left in the shot clock. And the worst three-point shooter in the league shoots a three. Is that what Frank Vogel dialed up? There's a saying in the NBA, open for a reason. Oklahoma City doesn't even attempt to guard him here. Watch this. They back off. They're begging him to shoot. 3 seconds into the shot clock, right out of a timeout, Westbrook takes and misses. He's shooting 17% this year on three. This is the guy that is lecturing a kid, playing at home, sealing a win on what shot to take? You got to be kidding me. Like, new rule on the show. Russell Westbrook can do a lot of things. He can never tell any other player what shots to take. That's just a new rule on the show. And I don't want to pick on him, but the NBA didn't start really keeping stats until 1977, 1978, tracking individual turnovers, which is weird. Like, the NFL didn't track sacks, like until the 70s, which I always think is crazy. Deacon Jones would have gotten credit for so many. And the NBA didn't track individual turnovers until like the late 70s, which is always crazy to me. But once they did that, They have had 11 games in league history where a player has recorded a triple-double, committed at least 10 turnovers, and shot less than 50%. Westbrook has half of them. He is a tsunami of bad judgment, bad shots, and out-of-control unraveling basketball, but he's also wildly talented. And in his prime, I would have paid to watch him play. And I do think he gives you minutes and passion. He loves the game. I'm in on that. But he can't tell other guys what shots to take. Jameis Winston can't lecture anybody. Sam Darnold can't lecture anybody on interceptions. Johnny Manziel can't lecture guys on bad judgment. Jameis Winston can't lecture guys on pick sixes. By the way, just to throw this out, LeBron was out. And there are those who would suggest that LeBron could have played last night, but he kind of wants to sit out because he kind of wants to watch the Lakers without him to see if he can trust Westbrook with the ball in his hands. The Lakers lost a 26-point lead to the worst team in the league last night. Why is that noteworthy? Because until last night, the Lakers were 230-0 up by 25 points in basketball games. Westbrook arrives. They blow their first game leading by that much. New rule. Westbrook can do a lot of things. I'm not saying he can't shoot, but he can't tell other players, I don't like that shot. I don't approve of your shot. Dude, you want to talk about old school? The old school basketball that I remember, guys who couldn't shoot didn't shoot. You can shoot, you shoot a lot. Okay? Let's move to this story. So Bart Scott used to play in the NFL, very good linebacker. Now he's a broadcaster. Not sure exactly where he's at. He's on First Take yesterday. Okay. And he was talking yesterday about the Case Keenum Baker Mayfield thing. This is not me saying it. This is a guy that played in the NFL, Pro Bowl or high level. He said, quote, there's nothing special about Baker Mayfield. He does less with more than any quarterback in football. When we discussed this yesterday, I said, Baker Mayfield's no dummy. He can see on the horizon what's happening. That, you know, he's got a great O-line. He's got a great run game. And yet against Kansas City, he blew a lead against the Chargers. He was brutal late. And then Case Keenum comes in, and, you know, they're both kind of the same size and both were better kind of college quarterbacks than pro quarterbacks, kind of unheralded Texas recruits out of high school. And Case comes in, and he wins a game, and all the numbers are equal to Baker's numbers. And so what's interesting about this is, you know, before the dam breaks, there's always leaks, right? A dam just doesn't break unexpectedly. There's leaks in the dam. There's leaks in the faucet. So this week, after Case Keenum replaced Baker and played up to Baker's level, one Cleveland player, the left tackle, said, no drop-off. And now Bart Scott says, there's no difference. Now, it all starts with a trickle. Let me ask you a question. What if Case Keenum plays this week and beats Pittsburgh? Okay, now you're going to have a couple of media people saying stuff. And maybe another teammate saying stuff. Oh, let's add a little more momentum to it. Then Baker does come back and loses to Joe Burrow. What do you think? Forget my show. What do you think the topic's going to be in Cleveland, Ohio that Monday? Case goes 2-0, puts up similar Baker numbers. Baker comes back and doesn't quite look up to Joe Burrow's level. Baker Mayfield knows this. Baker Mayfield's no dummy. This all starts, you know, we talk about this all the time, is that careers are about momentum. Baker didn't have any early, then last year at the end he had it, now he doesn't have it, now he gets hurt. And remember, it'd be one thing if, you know, if Case Keenum played under Josh Allen, 6'6", big arm, huge athlete, nobody would make these comparisons, but Baker is 6'1", 215, and Case is 6'1", and 215, and both were unheralded Texas high school recruits, and both need help to win games, and both, let's be honest, are marginally athletic, and there's not a big gap in Vegas on the betting lines when Baker leaves and Case comes in. And folks, this story, we just got a little trickle this week. Baker knows, I beat Pittsburgh. I shut all this down. Baker doesn't play, Case wins. You always look at me and think I'm Mr. Bad Guy. I went on Cleveland Brown Twitter this week. Cleveland Brown Twitter. Now, you know I think Baker's better than Case. You're starting to see the leak in the dam. Now I'd have went over the Steelers for Case Keenum. Now you're going to see a bigger leak in the dam. Now Baker returns, which he probably would next week, and loses Joe Burrow. The dam breaks. And Baker knows it. He's no dummy. So Baker talked about his health and him coming back and playing.
If you go out there, you're scared, you're timid, that's how you really get hurt, seriously. And so I can't do that, you know. So like I said, trying to get the strength back and be able to go as close to 100% as possible. And if that's not the case, then, you know, we trust the guys we have out there.
You know, I think a lot of people heard fractured bone, and the reaction was maybe Baker should shut it down. Was that ever discussed? Has that been discussed at all?
Shut it down as in like for the season?
Yeah.
No. People talk on the outside.
That's, sure.
They don't know how I feel, nor do they decide whether I can go or not.
He has a literal chip on his shoulder now. He's like a bone chip in his shoulder. Baker sees it. To his credit, he sees it. Like you all think I'm Mr. Bad Baker in Ohio now. When you lose the locals, forget about me, but when you lose the locals, you lose the room, right? Like if you're a politician, and you run for president, if they don't even like you in your home state, if they don't like you in Ohio, you're from Ohio, you're not winning the presidency. So I can see if I was Baker, I'd be like, no, I'll play against Pittsburgh because Pittsburgh's offense is absolutely dreadful. I think it's like 27th in points, and it's bad. It's really, in 2021, Pittsburgh's offense is Jurassic. It's terrible. Thank God they have a great defensive coach and great defensive personnel, and Najee Harris can play. But you lose your home state. You just watch. Case plays and wins this week. What do you think Monday's going to be like? Forget my show. What do you think they mean to stand in Cleveland Sports Radio? Because then Baker will be ready to come back. Good luck going to Cincinnati and beating Joe Burrow. And then the following week, going to New England against Belichick and beating Mac Jones, whose last 10 quarters, he's actually been pretty good. I mean, limited, but pretty good. The story, you got to see it around the corner. The story's around the corner. Baker, to his credit, sees it. He wants to play. I would be the same way. Fascinating what's happening to Tua. It's kind of crazy. That story is not over. And it's not necessarily terrible for Tua. We'll talk about that.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
You're now entering the No Bull Zone, sponsored by Credible. Great rates with none of the bull. I would like to take credit for this thought, this idea, but I was on the phone yesterday afternoon with somebody that's employed in the NFL. And we were talking about the Deshaun Watson situation in Miami, and this person said, you know, everybody thinks it's all done for Tua. But he said, he kind of threw this at me, and so I'm just going to relay this. He said, look at Miami's schedule. He said, Tua just played his best two games as a pro. He said, go look at Miami's schedule. Now, they play Buffalo this week, and they're a big underdog, and they will lose that game because Buffalo's defense is excellent, and Miami's offensive line is very poor. In fact, it's rated the worst pass-blocking line in the NFL. But 7 of the next 10 games, Tua is going to face the Texans, the Jets, Carolina, the Giants, the Jets, the Saints, and New England. Mac Jones may be playing better football than any of the other team's quarterbacks, and he's a rookie. In 7 of the 10 games, you can make an argument Tua will perform at that level or better than the quarterbacks he's facing. That's number one. The second thing the person I talked to said yesterday is this Deshaun Watson deal, there's a big percentage it won't get made because of the legal mess. These are not unlikely that Tua actually, in 7 of his 10 remaining games, and remember, he just played his best two games, but in 7 of the remaining 10, and that would make 9 of his last 12 games, he looks like the best quarterback on the field. Doesn't make him bigger or bigger arm. He looks like the best quarterback on the field. And it is kind of crazy when you go back and look at Tua's 13-game career. This is with a rebuilding offensive line, no run game. Okay, let's not, this is very much Baker Mayfield in the first couple years. He's got no run game, none, and they have a bad offensive line. And through 13 games, 7-6, 2-1 TD ratio, passer rating at 90, completion percentage 65, 66. That's not terrible. I might not be a fan. I might not see the it, but now add on 7 games to that with the 2 he just played, and what it tells you is there's a lot of runway here. And that if the Deshaun Watson deal doesn't get done, remember, Miami bailed on another quarterback early. Maybe you've heard of him, Ryan Tannehill, who now leads his division and has been kind of shockingly effective. So, you know, we can all just dump on Tua, but the reality of the NFL has always been. I mean, Ryan Fitzpatrick is on his, what, ninth team? He's a turnover machine. Don't feel sorry for Tua. Tua will get another chance. This is really all on Tua. Bad O-line, no run game. If he can play well in 7 of the next 10 games, I don't expect him to beat Buffalo at Buffalo. I don't expect him to beat Tennessee at Tennessee. I don't think he'll beat the Ravens even at home. But then it's a bunch of rookies and struggling and Daniel Jones and maybe Zach Wilson and Sam Darnold struggling and Jameis Winston. If you have talent, you will get a second opportunity to be a starter. Could he be the Ryan Tannehill? Now, Tannehill was there for 5 or 6 years. But it's, as the person told me yesterday, he said that there's a lot of runway here on this. The kid could play well. They don't get the Deshaun Watson deal done. And Brian Flores is like, all right, we're not very good. We can go get another quarterback. Tua may be worth something. Because we talked about, Joy and I talked about this yesterday. If you look at right now in the NFL, next year, we counted 9 teams. 7 that will draft a quarterback, 6 to 7 that will, and 2 that might, like a Detroit might. Tua's going to get a shot here in Miami or somewhere else. Joy with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
It's like Tua's been there for like 5 years, and they're just trying to process what to do with him. Like, you drafted him last year. What an indictment of your decision to be even having this conversation at this point, right?
Well, it's not Josh Rosen, where very early it was like, oh, this doesn't work.
Right.
EJ Manuel was one of those. Great kid, but like, oh, it doesn't work. Or I could mention him, you know, don't need to pick on anybody. Yeah. But this one's like, okay, I don't think it works, but, well, it's not terrible.
But you don't know.
I think I know. We're in the projection business.
Sure.
That's what we do. But They bailed on Tannehill, who's been a Pro Bowl level guy. Like, it's not like Miami hasn't done this before.
No, they're very impatient, which is why I was right about this from the very beginning.
By the way, who's impatient? The owner. Who is on the Deshaun Watson bandwagon? It's Stephen Ross. He's the one that said, that's what I want.
Yeah. Well, another star will miss tonight's matchup between the Packers and Cardinals. J.J. Watt will be out for the game due to a shoulder injury. He will also reportedly need surgery on that shoulder and is likely out for the rest of the season. This is obviously super disappointing for tonight, as we are trying to figure out exactly who is even going to be available to play on both teams tonight.
Good news, though. Chandler Jones is back.
Yes. He is back from the COVID list.
Yeah, and he's a great player.
DeAndre Hopkins is questionable with a hamstring injury, but the team is reportedly hopeful that he will play. Devontae Adams and Alan Lazard are both on the COVID list. Apparently, there's still a chance that Devontae could possibly play.
Oh, really?
They're waiting for, we have to see what the situation is with the test, because he is vaccinated, so he has to have no symptoms and back-to-back.
Okay.
Negative test within 24 hours.
Okay, so why can't he take... I mean, they have automatic results, so why can't Devontae take...
Because it has to be within 24 hours.
Of?
Like, if you have a whole 24 hours in between.
Oh.
So, So there's going to be some pieces out tonight, and J.J. Watt is one of them. Now, again, we sort of put J.J. Watt into this space of, like, he just came in for leadership, and he is actually a big part of their run defense.
He is.
And he's third in pressure rate from interior defensive linemen. So it is a loss, but it's good to have Chandler Jones back. And, so he won't clear protocols in time. Ian Rappaport just tweeted that he won't.
Who won't?
Devontae Adams won't clear protocols
in
time.
He's
so he is going to be out. All right. But this is what we're dealing with at this point in the season. COVID is still a thing, despite what you read on Reddit, and it's still impacting the NFL, and you're going to have this throughout the season, and injuries are a part of it as well. But altogether, I think that this is going to be a great game.
Oh, I'm going over to a friend's tonight. We're celebrating like it's Mardi Gras tonight. This is the I'm not saying it's the greatest Thursday night game in the history of the world, but it's in a top five potential.
Well, I mean, it's a bummer that you want everybody to be healthy and complete when you have these big matchups. But
it's funny. Monday, we had the teams and the legendary coaches, but we didn't have Breeze or Russell Wilson. The game was a stinker. For all the people missing tonight, we still get Kyler against Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
So the game will be great. It's going to be a fantastic game. But without Devontae or J.J. Watt, it doesn't feel quite as whole. But the game will be fantastic.
Now, the Cardinals are favored by 6.5, according to Fox Bet.
I know. I like Arizona to cover here. I do.
I do not.
All right.
I think it's so many points for Aaron Rodgers. They're 6-0 in games without Devontae
Adams. I know.
Adams.
It's one of those weird stats that I can't argue, but it doesn't feel right.
Well, yes, because I do think that each individual situation matters, and the Cardinals are not just good on the offensive side. They are a great defensive team as well.
I'm not doubting they're 6-0 without Devontae, but doesn't it against Arizona feel like they really need – even the Vegas market's totally shifted.
Well, yes, because Arizona can score so many ways and so quickly.
Well, they have multiple explosive players, and Devontae is one of two or three really explosive Packers.
I'm very interested to see what the Packers' game plan is tonight. Not just without Devontae, but just to deal with Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
So the Chiefs have not been playing at the level we are used to seeing from them. They are 3-4 and out of the AFC playoff picture. But Giants head coach Joe Judge is not falling into the trap. He will not be fooled into underestimating the Chiefs this week.
I mean, how did the league catch up to them? Is everyone as fast as Tyreek Hill, Hardman? Can everybody, you know, cover the ball as deep as he can throw that thing? I mean, to be honest with you, I think it's a foolish narrative for us to buy into if we think this team isn't as good as they are. So this is a damn good team. They're very explosive. They're very dangerous. These guys are going to be playing their best ball Monday night. We're going out into a tough atmosphere. It's a lot of great energy out there. So we've got to get ready this week to play our best football.
So last week, Joy, I did something I never did. I took the Buccaneers favored by 12-13.
Yeah.
I never take big favorites. I love the Chiefs this week at 10-point favorites. Listen, we know their defense is not going to be great this year.
Right.
It doesn't have to be great. It has to be situationally competent. This idea, and I love Michael Irvin, but this idea the dynasty's over. A, it's not a dynasty, and B, if you look at all the data, they're still offensively unbelievable. They had a stinker against Tennessee. Buffalo had a stinker against Pittsburgh.
Well, yes, and that's why I would agree with you, Chiefs -9, according to Fox Bet on Monday night, because the Giants don't have an explosive offense. But when you're going up against an explosive offense, that defense is the problem. So yes, you can score, but you can't stop anybody. So eventually that's going to wear thin with great teams.
Yeah.
So you can take advantage of a lesser opponent having the explosive offense that the Chiefs still do. To Joe Judge's point, they're an explosive, dangerous team.
Yeah.
This looks like not a great game. Right. Just because of the records. But this is a really big game. And it's interesting to me because the Giants don't generally get blown out. But you would lean towards the Chiefs because of the offensive ability that they still have.
Yeah. I mean, I it's weird with Kansas City. Losing 34-25 with Kansas City would be 9 points. Like 9 points, right? So it'd be – no, that'd be 11. So if you lost 34-25 – that's the final score. Kansas City Arrowhead Monday night beats you. You're like, oh, it was competitive.
Right.
Kansas City kind of reboots the way I think. Like, I don't think a 9-point Chiefs win at home on Monday night's a blowout. I'd be like, I would fly home and think, you know, we got within, anyway, we were like almost a touchdown away from them. Because
right.
They're off. We're seeing this with some of these offenses. Like, you lose by 9 to Mahomes at Arrowhead on Monday night. And I'm the Giants personnel. I don't necessarily fly home with my head down.
Well, you're having to adjust how you look at blowouts now because the offense, we talked about this yesterday, rules are curved towards the offense. So Dak Prescott has been limited in practice. He recovers from a calf strain, but he looked good yesterday during the partial work that he did. The Cowboys are still being cautious with him. Mike McCarthy said Dak will continue to progress through individual drills and in the game plans at practice, but he needs to cross a threshold before the team makes a final decision on his status for Sunday night against the Vikings. They don't really need to rush him back. They've won 5 straight and have a 3.5 game lead in the NFC East, and there's really no one else in the NFC East that we think is going to go on a run and, you know, take them down. And you want him healthy through the remainder of the season. This is kind of one of those weird injuries with a calf injury. But Cooper Rush is getting reps with the first team offense. We'll have to watch this throughout the rest of the week to see if he's going to be available. They are favored by 2. It's the Sunday night game, according to Fox Bet.
Good stuff, Joy, with the news.
That's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
It is interesting. I was looking at the staff. It was funny this morning. The staff, I don't know if I should even say this. So
I don't know where you're going to tell you no or yes.
No, I was just saying that I looked at the standings this morning.
Okay.
You just let me finish this, like, because I know what you're going to say. You're going to tell me to stop. So you can't tell me to stop. I mean, you could. So I looked at the AFC and the NFC standings.
Okay.
And it's really crazy. And this is what we talked about yesterday. The league's becoming so quarterback dependent, so offensive dependent, that it eliminates a lot of teams very quickly from the playoffs.
Right.
It's not the way it should be. You should be able to go into a season, your best players are running back, and you could be a Super Bowl favorite or a Super Bowl bubble team. So in the AFC, both conferences get 7 spots for the playoffs. Used to be 6, now it's 7. In the AFC, I see only 10 teams vying for that. I think Buffalo, New England, Bengals, Ravens, Browns, Tennessee, Colts, Raiders, Chargers, Chiefs. I do not buy Pittsburgh. I do not buy them. I'll argue all day on that. So that means Denver, Jacksonville, Houston, Pittsburgh, Jets, Dolphins. We haven't hit the halfway point. They're done. In the NFC, now this is what's strange, Joy. In the NFC, I only see 7 playoff teams among 7 spots. Dallas, Green Bay, Minnesota, Tampa, New Orleans, Arizona, and the Rams.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, that's not right. There has to be another team. There has to be another team there that is viable.
Where?
Just look at Atlanta.
Oh, God.
No, Judge, give me 1 second on Atlanta. I know I have lost more money on Atlanta than is almost legal. Now, the more complete teams are in the NFC. Tampa, the Rams, Dallas, Arizona, Green Bay are more complete than, like, some of the better teams on the East. But think about this with Atlanta. I want everybody to think about this with Atlanta. The one team in the NFC. This is the one team I could be totally wrong about. They have excellent weapons, an emerging star tight end, a capable veteran quarterback, a clever offensive head coach, and they face Carolina, the Saints, the Jags, Carolina, Detroit, the Niners, the Saints. Am I wrong on that? Atlanta is the one team in the NFC, the one team in the NFL now that we're not considering a potential playoff team. Because you start looking right now, there's 17 teams I count that feel like that there's something, they do things well. Are we overlooking Atlanta? Or am I a total?
No, we are not overlooking Atlanta. I don't even think that Falcons fans think this way about their own team anymore.
Look at that schedule.
What is it?
A bunch of Carolinas and it
you have this insane loyalty to the Atlanta
Falcons.
No,
I hate them. I literally...
You always find a way to talk yourself into this.
Just because I invite people to Thanksgiving, I can still hate them. They may be relatives.
Like family?
Yes. Am I nuts?
Yes,
okay,
you're nuts.
All right.
Listen, because you always talk yourself into this. I'm not saying Atlanta's a bad team. Not saying they don't have potential.
In 2021, veteran quarterback, clever head coach, emerging star at tight end, excellent weapons, and a cruddy schedule.
In your spirit, do you feel good about what you're saying, Colin?
Nope, terrible. Absolutely do not feel good at all. That's why I'm asking the question instead of being declarative.
But you want to be declarative.
Yeah, because I brought this up to the staff this morning, and everybody's like, stop, we can't do this as a segment. This is not a segment. It's not airable. And I said, God, I'm falling for it again. Atlanta's sucking me in.
They do. They have a spell. They're like Jafar in Aladdin. He just like holds a snake up and you're like, Atlanta Falcons, Super Bowl contender, bubble team.
All right. Pretend I never said it. One of our Gregs is coming up next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Halloween is Sunday. Congrats to our people who do all the graphics in the set. Isn't that crazy looking? It's Halloween is Sunday. So I'm just going to give you a heads up. I'm going to do this to be obnoxious today. I'm going to go to the grocery store, take a picture of apples, put it on my Twitter and say, Halloween is Sunday, getting ready for the kids. Watch people implode. I'm just going to be so obnoxious. Because Sunday, I got a football game, Sunday Night Football, and yeah. It's trick or treat. But I like giving kids candy. I think it's fun. And
yeah, kids in costumes is the cutest
thing. Oh, they're great. Like, kids are great.
They're the best. Don't be that person, though. Like, Colin's joking. Don't buy the pretzel sticks and put them in the bag. No. You just get candy. Be normal.
I just told Joy, a lady gave me an apple once. I can remember her address. To this day, I know the gray-haired lady that gave me an apple.
It's so dangerous. You're asking for your house to get egged. Not that I advocate for that.
There are ramifications to giving an apple out.
There are.
Just trust me if you do it. Greg Jennings, 10 years in the league, multiple Pro Bowls, Super Bowl. Yeah, Halloween. Hey, okay, so it's interesting. Monday night, we had all the good players were there, but we didn't have the quarterbacks. Drew Brees retires. Russell Wilson's not there. It's unwatchable. Tonight, we got Aaron and Kyler. We don't have J.J. Watt. We don't have Davante Adams. And it's really interesting, and I want you to explain this to me. It doesn't make sense. Davante Adams is great. They don't have a great number two receiver, and yet Green Bay is 6-0 without Davante Adams. And yet tonight, I feel like they could get run out of the building here. If they can't go toe-to-toe. So how are they winning without Davante Adams? Like, what is there? Do you see them as a viable team tonight at Arizona? Because I think if this is a track meet, this could get ugly fast. Your thoughts about tonight?
Yeah, I still think they're a viable team that can win without Davante Adams. And the reasons why that they win without him is because the team isn't just built based on Davante Adams. You got to understand, when we've seen the Green Bay Packers look terrible, it's when that guy isn't in the uniform. The guy under center is the most important piece to the puzzle. Yes, Davante Adams is special. Take nothing away from him. It's like a marriage. I'm successful because of what my wife provides, but it doesn't completely mean that I can't be successful without her. And so when you look at the Green Bay Packers, the Packers are successful because Aaron Rodgers has a skill set and so does others. And so he's able to really lock in and hone in on spreading the ball around. Robert Tonyan is used a lot more. Typically, Alan Lazard is, but no Alan Lazard. So you have other guys who feel and who have stepped up in the past who look at this as an opportunity to really have an outbreak in a showing to where they feel like, look, I can be the guy if I get more opportunities. So when you build a culture that's based on all the individuals and you highlight players, it's different than when the culture is just built around one individual.
You know, one of the things about Kyler Murray, he's always been an explosive player, even in college, right? But the thing that's kind of amazing to me is he's now completing like 73-74% of his throws. So you get great and you get efficiency. And I've got to be honest about this. I'm surprised. I said when he came in, he looked small. I don't know if it's going to work. His comp is Russell Wilson, but that's an unfair comp because Russell's an all-time great. I am surprised. His efficiency now is through the roof. The fact that he runs around, which can be sometimes difficult for receivers, actually works for them. Are you surprised at all at how dynamic and how great and how efficient he's become rather quickly?
You know, I'm not surprised because last year when you watched him, there was things that he fought actually just embracing, which was really running with his legs, an asset that most quarterbacks would love to have, that he kind of wanted to break that mold of, I'm not just a running guy, I'm a running quarterback. I'm not just a guy that can extend plays and play off script. He wanted to be a pocket passing guy. But what makes him special is his ability to not only be a pocket passer, but to extend plays, still keep his eyes down the field and hit moving targets. And once he embraced that this is just who I am, everybody else knew it, but it was like, just embrace it. Now, the thing that I would caution one on is, We saw this and we've seen this with Patrick Mahomes. He came out blazing, and then now you put him with the same team and the personnel looks very similar, but he's starting to force things a lot more because he's relied on his arm strength, his ability to extend plays and always kind of freelance. And so I think it could potentially grow into something that can get him in trouble. But if he stays locked in and embrace whatever the game plan is, and they truly allow him to be who he is, this kid is electric.
Yeah.
He is special for a long time.
You know, it's interesting. Players, and I understand this, you guys want to win. Winning trumps everything. And so I think Baker's better than Case Keenum, but I don't think the gap is like Josh Allen or Mahomes to Case Keenum. I mean, Baker and Case are 6'1", 215, kind of, you know, unheralded high school Texas recruit, not super athletic. You know, there's some similarities here. And when Case played last week, they won, and his numbers were right aligned with Baker's with that O-line, right? And so I said this, before the dam breaks, there's drips and drips and drips, and there's leaks in it. So Case wins and looks pretty good. He looks Bakerish against Denver. And so he plays again this weekend. And let's say they're favored, even with Case, and they win against Pittsburgh. And then Baker comes back against Cincinnati and just happens to go and face Joe Burrow in Cincinnati and loses. And then the next week he plays Mac Jones in New England and Belichick, who now, his last 10 quarters, Mac is playing very well. And I'm not saying, I think Baker has a better arm than Case, and he's better, but I don't think it's a gap. I don't think it's Lamar to RG3. You know, I don't think when RG3 was a Raven and Lamar, it's not like that, right? We know who's better. What happens? Case Keenum wins this week. Following week, Baker comes back and loses to Cincinnati. Would there be guys in that locker room that privately would say, bruh, are we sure we got the right quarterback?
So you think it, but because when you think about Baker Mayfield as well as Case Keenum, they are locker room guys. Guys love them because they're willing to put everything on the line, including themselves physically. They are ready to go to bat for a teammate, their colleagues. Like, everyone loves someone who believes in them and not just makes it about themselves. Baker does not make it just solely about himself, but he does have a tremendous amount of confidence. And you see the same thing with Case Keenum. However, when you look at the Cleveland Browns, they're built. They have an identity, and their identity solely is revolved around their running game. Look at what happened last week with a no-name guy that is now known getting tweeted by LeBron James.
Right.
You can insert individuals, and I'm not just saying that he's not a player, because they are, but when you have an identity, you don't go away from that if it works. And so Baker Mayfield or Case Keenum are not asked to be Patrick Mahomes or Kyler Murray. That's not what they're being asked to do. They're being asked to manage this offense. And when we do need you to step up and make throws, you should be, and you better be able to make those throws.
Greg Jennings, first of three Gregs on the show today. It's great seeing you, buddy. Fox Sports.
Likewise. Appreciate it.
All right. Do you know that Greg eats the same thing for dinner every night?
I eat the same thing for breakfast every day. Kind of even on weekends, too.
Yeah, but breakfast is limited. There's not a lot to eat for breakfast. You got some eggs, you got some oatmeal, you got a shake or something.
You're not a bruncher, huh?
Nope, I'm a nibbler.
Yeah.
I don't eat a full meal almost ever.
We have such opposite eating habits.
Yeah.
I need a big meal.
Yeah, I don't like those.
I don't snack.
I snack all day.
Yeah, you're a grazer.
A total grazer. Cow herd. It's from the cow family, I think. I graze all day in the field. By the way, okay, I really do think deep down I'm a nice person. But sometimes I get into my moods, and I pick on, you know, so I pick on Baker. So I have to be very careful to be a nice guy. And I don't want to pick on this guy, Nick Sirianni, the coach of Philadelphia. I don't want to, because I don't like him at the podium, and he seems like a nice person. But he did it again yesterday. He starts ad-libbing at the podium, and this is not good, and I'm going to play it, and I'm no more talking. Just here it is. It's not great.
I put a picture of a flower up, right, and it's coming through the ground, and the roots are growing out, and the roots are continuing to grow out, and everybody wants to see results. Shoot, nobody wants to see results more than us, right? We want to see results too, but it's really important that that the foundation is being built and that the roots are growing out. And the only way the roots grow out every single day and they grow stronger and they grow better is if that we all put we all water, we all fertilize, we all do our part.
All right, what am I supposed to say to that? I mean, come on, what? That is not, by the way, in the same state, here's the other football coach this week. Same state.
Hey, guys, I don't have time for that speculation. I mean, that's a joke to me. I got one of the best jobs in all of professional sport. Why would I have any interest in coaching college football? That'll be the last time that I address it. And not only today, but moving forward. Never say never, but never. Okay? Anybody else got any questions about any college jobs? There's not a booster with a big enough blank check.
Anyone else? All right.
Thank you. Anybody asking Sean Payton about that? You know, anybody asking Andy Reid about stuff like that?
Who are you going to run through a wall for? I'm just saying. Who are you going to run through a wall for? Second, Greg Cosell next.